If I say, I don't believe I'm one of God's elect, I don't believe it. You won't please God that way. God is not pleased with that. And God isn't impressed that I think I am either. But he wants me to have faith. I'm supposed to have faith and believe. He called me. He won't deny that. So I'm going to be faithful to the calling and make my calling and election sure. But that can only be from my perspective, because God is sure of his election. He isn't going to say, well, I'm going to choose him to salvation, and then I'm going to see what he's going to do. Is it going to work out with this guy? I don't know. Let's give it a whirl. So the perspectives, it's all based on perspectives. From the perspective of God, I either am or am not. From my perspective, I don't know. I don't know what is. I don't know if what is now is what is supposed to be, meaning what is supposed to be tomorrow. I know what is now is supposed to be today, because whatever now is according to the plan of God. It may be not be the way God likes things. You gotta understand that there's differences. God ordains things in ways that, yeah, maybe it doesn't please him, except in an overall sense that it pleases him. I mean, God hates evil, but he creates evil. It says so in Isaiah chapter 45. God creates evil. God created the wicked. It says so in Psalm 16, verse 4. Proverbs 16, 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. God makes things. God makes things that do not please him, because it pleases him to make things thus. Because there is a purpose in it. Things that happen that are bad, all things work together for good for those that love God. I mean, there's one good example of how it works. Even bad things that do not make God happy, so to speak, are part of his will and his plan, though they may be against his will in a certain sense. You know, but you have to have proper perspective, because everyone wants everything to be just a systematic, black and white, and that's just not how it works. I don't see how you could think of that. Because it says all things are put under his feet, but we do not see all things put under his feet. All our sins are taken away, but we don't see all our sins taken away. That doesn't mean we shouldn't look for it. In fact, I see all over the scripture that I'm supposed to look for it. I'm supposed to seek it. I'm supposed to expect it. I'm supposed to lay hold on it. I'm supposed to demand it of myself and petition God. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Christ, there's no one offering. That's it. And it was all done. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, that Jeremiah 31, I will write my laws in their hearts. The covenant, the blood of Christ brings about the covenant whereby the law of God is written in us, not in the sense of, oh, I remember. I remember the Ten Commandments. Because who among us who thinks that that is the way it is, can tell me all the things. You know, do you really know everything that's wrong? Well, maybe you do. Why do you know that? Oh, because my conscience tells me that's wrong. I'd rather think that instead of my conscience guiding me, the Holy Spirit is guiding me. So God writes into us obedience. He writes into us his laws, a new law. As I said before, thou shalt not kill, but I do not kill. That is the law of my heart, you know. You know, I do not lust after evil things. Those are the things we want written in us. We want it to be part of our being. We want it to be written in our heart, not as something, okay, I got to do that, but as what we are, where the law is as much a part of us. It's not something external to us. It's not written on stone somewhere in the corner of a warehouse in a crate. No, it is written in us. It is part of us. Do you see the difference? You know, even in the law, this, and Paul doesn't go into this, but the law signified in the old covenant that the law of God was not in them. Why? They had to put it in the phylacteries and post it as frontlets between their eyes. They put little boxes on their head and they put it on their doors when they would go in and when they would go out, and it was on their heads and on their arms. They bound it to their arms. They bound it to the outside of the body because that was as close as the law could get to them. The law could not get into their hearts. It could not get into their minds to change their minds. It could only be bound to their bodies and strapped to their heads and stuck on their doors and pinned to the walls, but it was not in them. The difference, the law signified it, the Holy Ghost signified it, that the law was separate from our hearts. It was outside of our minds. It was other than us. But now in the new covenant, it is us. The law is in us. It is part of us. And our obedience derives not from external commandments, but from the inward righteousness of the heart that is supplied by the Holy Ghost. That is how it's supposed to work. That is the teaching of the apostles. Verse 18. Where the remission of these is. Remission means freedom. In a figurative sense, pardon. But I like that literal meaning of freedom. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And therefore, what? No more offering for sin. One offering at the beginning of the age. Because the end of that age was the beginning of this age, if you remember the previous chapter. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So by all these things, by this sacrifice, by this blood, we have boldness. And we talked about that very in depth. You know, it means to come with frankness, without reservation, you know, without a lot of unnecessary. You know, I think of the way that in the old times, the way people had to approach kings, you know, with all kinds of, you will bow, you know, you walk in the door, you will bow. You walk five steps forward, you will bow again. You walk another five steps, you will bow again. Then you come into the divine, your presence, you do not speak. You wait for him to speak to you, you do not say a thing. And then, you know, and as you leave, you do not turn your back on him, but you walk out backwards. You know, you think of all like the protocol they would go through to walk into a divine, to walk into a royal presence. I said divine before, but.